Okay, as always, the Torah should be doing Shmos for Gash Min Ravari. This week, Parshas Vayetze, Tovshin Ayin Tes, a fascinating parsha where there are no psuches and no stumos. A parsha of Yaakov Avinu descending into Golus, living through the Golus with Tarag Mitzvah Shamayti, and exiting it. And then there's no psucha and there's no stumos because in Golus we don't know the full picture until we come to the end. Ushaavtamein, Besosso, Mimania, Yeshua, when the Rabbeinu Shlomo would eventually tell us what was going on during that entire time. But at the beginning of the parasha, Yaakov Avinu, as we know from the end of last week's parasha, has been sent by his parents, by Yitzhak and Rivka, to go to Padan Aram, to go to Choron, and to stay there for Yomim Achodim. And he was on his way as well to find the Imois, with whom he would parent the Shivtei Ka. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing Yaakov Avinu for that experience. Amongst other things, amongst other Giluyim that were revealed to Yaakov Avinu in the Nevuah that he had, where he saw Sula Mutzav Arta V'Rishem Hagi'a Shamayma, Chazal tell us he saw Malachi Elohim, Oilim V'Yoridim Boy, he saw different Malachim, some say these were Malachim who had been to Sodom, some say these were Malachi Eretz Yisrael, Malachi Chutz La'aretz, some say they were the Malachim of the various Galuyos that Klal Yisrael would have to experience. And Yaakov Avinu sees this in this Mare Balaila, but it's also in Nevuah, which is preparing him in order to go and set up his home. And within that, it defines what the house of a Yid is meant to contain within it. He saw a Sula Mutzav Arto, and as Rashi tells us from Chazal, the foot of that ladder was in Be'er Sheva. The middle of that ladder was above Yerushalayim, above the Beis HaMikdash, and the top of that ladder was Reisha Magia HaShomayim. Because there's three imperative things that every Yiddish home has to have inside it. The first is it's got to be embedded and entrenched and founded on Gemilus Chasodim. Be'er Sheva was the place where Avram Avinu had his Eishel. Be'er Sheva was the place where Avram Avinu had his inn. By his Eishel, which was the Achila, Shsiya, Levoya. That's where Avram Avinu taught Chesed, gave Chesed. And the Yiddish home has to be embedded and entrenched and founded on Gemilus Chasodim. Hence this ladder of ascendancy, which Yaakov Avinu was seeing prior to going to build his home, showed him the first thing is, first and foremost, it begins in Be'er Sheva, Mokim of Chesed. And as you ascend further, it's got to contain within it Avodah, and that's why the middle bit was above Yerushalayim, and Mokim HaMikdash, to signify and to remind him this was a place where we would bring Korbanos, where we would daven, it would be what he would define as the Beis Elokim, and every home has to contain within it Torah and has to contain within it Avodah. And finally, V'roshe Magia Shomayma. There's only one thing which allows us to have any connection with what's going on in Shomayim, and to understand what's going on in Shomayim. To be Magia Ada Shomayma, that's with the Torah HaKadosha. Torah HaKadosha is Be'etzem a celestial Torah, a Torah which was, the Malachim said to Noah, Yichal HaShomayim, leave it with us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Berachamov HaMarubim, Be'chastai HaGadoyla came, and he gave that Torah to us. And therefore Yaakov Avinu was being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make sure that every home, and the home that you're going to set up, has Gemilus Chasodim between yourselves and between others, has Avodah and has Torah. Amongst the things that Yaakov Avinu was told, he was told over there, Ufaratzta Yoma Vakeidma V'Tzafayna V'Negba, that you are going to be Poyrets. Some say, Rashi says the title of that is V'Chazakta, you're going to be Shtark, you're going to be strong in all directions. Others say is that, like, Vayifrat Zaroiv, he was strong. Others say it comes from a Lashon Ufarat, so to be put together, you're going to spread out and break forth in all directions. That is representing that Yaakov Avinu would have a bracha that would have no boundaries at all. Ufarat, so like, Melech put it together, there would be no boundaries. Yaakov Avinu's bracha would go everywhere. And that's signified by what we say in Zemiris on Friday night, Nachalas Yaakov Yirosh Beli Metzorim Nachalah. The Nachla that Yaakov Avinu got is a Nachla Beli Metzorim. It has no boundaries. And there's a beautiful gematria, I forget who says this gematria, there's a beautiful gematria, if you would write out, you know, there's different ways you can say a gematria. It's add up the letters, sometimes it's add up the letters and add the letters themselves, sometimes it's add the letters of times in by each other, there's something called a Miluoi. If you had to write Nachla Beli Metzorim, if you had to write the word Nachla in its entirety, without any Metzorim, how would you write it? You'd write the Nun as Nun Vav Nun, the Ches, Ches Yud Sof, the Lamed, Lamed Mem Dalad, and the Hey, Hey Yud. And if you add that up, Nun Vav Nun is 106, Ches Yud Sof, which is the Ches, is 418, Lamed Mem Dalad is 70, 4. And finally, you have hay is 15, and that adds up to 613. The nachala b'li metzarim, and nachala without metzarim, what was the nachalas Yaakov Yirosh? What did Yaakov Avinu ultimately, what's the bracha that he's going to get? The bracha he's going to get is that you're going to be the father of Klal Yisrael. Ultimately, you're going to go down, but titen emes liyakov. Yaakov Avinu is going to be the one who's known for and represents Torah, and that's the nachala b'li metzarim, the nachala that Yaakov Avinu got. Yaakov Avinu, as Rashi also tells us, he said, "Ein zekiim beis elokim." It's a bayis. He called it a home. And Chazal tell us, and Rashi brings it down, based on a pasuk in Yishaya Anovi. Yishaya Anovi told Klal Yisrael that the Mokim HaMikdosh has had many titles given to it. In fact, he doesn't mention one of the titles that is that we are told, that the Medrash tells us, is that the Malachim, or Adam Arishan, called it Machaneh. That's what he called the name of the Mokim HaMikdosh. But as far as the Oves HaKadoshim are concerned, Rashi tells us that he said like this, Ein zeh kiyim beis elokim, v'zeh shar ha-shomayim. The pasuk in Yishayo says, Loi ka'avrom, l'chu v'nale beis keil, Loi ka'avrom, and on that says Chazal, Loi ka'avrom shekoroi har, v'loi ki Yitzchok shekoroi sode, elok ki Yaakov shekoroi bayis, beis keil. There's two ways of understanding that. The Alter Menal of Gates of Yeshiva would say over, and when Avraham Avinu came to the world, as he told Eliezer in Parashas Chayisara, when I came to the world, the Rebbeinu Shleilam was Elokei HaShomayim. And that was it. And even that was few and far between the people who believed in that. But anyone who believed in there being a Borei Olam believed he created and then he's gone to Shomayim. And I made the world know that there's an Elokim. But instead in Avraham Avinu's days, people respected Avraham Avinu as the Abba Moin Goyim. But you know, Avodas Hashem is something that's for unique people. It's not for the Hamayinam. It's only for special people. It's for people who've got that intellect, who've got that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like a mountain. A mountain is something that stands out, that's unique. And, or who can own a mountain? To own a mountain, which has all these, it's multi-sides, on all sides of the mountain, and the top of the mountain. Who can own such a thing? Yechidei Skula. And they looked at Avodas Hashem as being for something for Yechidei Skula. Came along Yitzchak Avinu. And by that time, where he continued the legacy of Avraham, in his way, but continued to promote and to teach to the world and to propagate Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it then became a Sada. More people own a Sada than own a Har. And it became something that was more accepted and more people were accustomed to being Maminu in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once Yaakov came to the world, he showed us that it can be a bias. Everyone has a home. And the Shekhinah can reside in everyone's home. That was what Yaakov Avinu, he said, that's what is called Beis Elokim. And Chaim Kaufman, Zeichet Zad Nevracha, told me on a number of occasions, a vort which I think he said was both the Vilna Gaon and the Heinig of Nei Sosso would say. The first name that the Mokam HaMikdosh was given was Machane. Second name was Har, the third name Sada, the fourth name was Abayis. And this is a classic, I love using this for Sheva Brachos Torah. But he says like this, the Gematria of Machane is 103. If you add 103 to 103, you get 206. That's the Gematria of Har with the Koidel. So Machane was the name that Adam Rishon gave it. How was the name Avraham Avinu gave?
Sorry, lives 103.
From Machane. The first name that was given by Adam Arishan is Machane. Add another 103, you get 206, which is Har with the Koil. Add another 103 to that, you get 309, exactly the Gematria Soda. Add another 103 to that, you get 412, exactly the Gematria Bayis. Add another 103 to that, you get 515, exactly the Gematria Bayis Chanan, the amount of tefillis that Moshe Avinu davened to be able to go and live in, to go and build a Beit HaMikdash. Practice Lakasha, normally in a Gematria, you know, you add 103 and 103, 26, 206, 206, 412, 412, 412, 824, etc., etc. What would say we're always going back to the original 103? What's significant in that? So he would explain and he would say like this. He said, you know, if you come along to a building and you look at the building, you say, I want to add on another story to this building. Well, I want to add on another five stories to this building. The only way a person can be able to do that is first go and find out from the architect or from the structural engineer, how strong are the foundations? If the foundation can hold another few stories, then they can. Then comes another guy, he says, you know, I want to start to build a merpeset off the side. Or I want to start to build off the wall. Oh, one second. Do you know how sturdy it is? Do you know how strong the wall is? Do you know whether it can hold it or not? You've got to go and find out from the original construction how it was made and what it can contain on it. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, everyone is given a unique set of qualities and talents and abilities and a unique connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So their challenge would be for someone to say, oh, okay, I'm going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you know what? I'm going to do it my way. In an innovative way, in a creative way, but nothing to do with previous stories. A new way. On that, the Obas HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it doesn't work like that. You want to come and add on, go ahead and add on. But always look back at the foundation. See how it all began. Go back to that first 103. You want to add on? Commensurate it to that. Add on your stock, your next floor. Add on another 103. But Bakashat, go and add on, go and add on. But always remember, it's got to be commensurate to what was there before. Later on in the parasha, we have the fascinating encounter with Yaakov Avinu. So one of the amazing things that we see, Sefer Bereishis tells us about history of the world and what's going to be. And we look and we see there's so many things which have happened throughout history, whether it's about human nature, whether it's about Klal Yisrael and the Umas Olam. Yaakov Avinu had this deal with Lavan. You know, he says to Lavan, says, I've got to start paying you. So Yaakov says to him, fine, you know, take away all the sheep that are dotted or spotted or have lines on them. And from now on, anything that's born like that will be mine, and the rest will be yours. And it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped out Yaakov Avinu. Vayifrei to ish ma'oid, ma'oid, vayilo tzoyin rabbi, zu shvokhis, vavodim, ugmalim, vachamayrim. And then, vayishma es divrei b'nei lovon lemoir, lok Yaakov Avinu hears his brothers-in-law saying, lokach Yaakov es kol asher lo Avinu, umei asher lo Avinu es kol asa es kol hakavod hazeh. You know what? They're Yaakov. It's all our wealth. You know this Jew. All the money he's made, it's really ours. He's taking it from ourselves. It's a fascinating thing just to observe. That means up until now, Lavan, as much as he didn't like Yaakov Avinu, and must have grinded against him. The MS of Yaakov Avinu was so anti-Lavan. But you know what? Lavan bared him. He had to bear him. And he said, you know, it's worthwhile having him here. When he arrived here, how wealthy was Lavan? No. The bracha that came in Leragli, as he tells Lavan at the end of the parasha, you know yourself how many sheep you had and how tzaklap they were. And by the time I'm leaving, how wealthy you've become. When Yaakov Avinu arrived, Lavan had no sons. That's why he sent Rachel to be a shepherd. At this point, he's got sons, managers of his whole estate. So he was quite, you know what, Yaakov's not my ideal employee, but I'll bear with him because he's been bringing me bracha. That's fine. But as soon as the guy hears, as soon as the oppressor hears, I've got accomplices, I've got other people who are bareding the yid, so then they jump on the bandwagon. But yeah, Yaakov, how did it all start? Because the B'nai Lavan started to say something. Okay, I've got a company, right? And then Yaakov saw, but yeah, it's B'nai Lavan, v'hine enenu imo kitman shosha.
Why didn't they pick up their father's attitude, put up with him?
They didn't come from rags to riches. You know, they had it straight away. More difficult to appreciate how things have gone. And then Yaakov Avinu has a nevuah. But Yehuda Hashem al Yaakov, that's already, he sees the whole attitude has changed. It's already got to get Yaakov Avinu thinking, what's the Ashkocha al Yehuda over here? What does the Eibishter want from me? It's not to remain here for too long. And then the Rebbeinu Shem comes to him with the nevuah. But Yehuda Hashem al Yaakov, shuv el eretz amisechul ma'atecho ve'er yeimach. Go back home. Hey, Yaakov, I'm going to be with you. Right? So Yaakov, he's got to go home. So what does he do? First thing is, consults with his wives. Vayishlach Yaakov, Yikor l'roch l'leo hasada el tzoyna. And he calls them hasada. Rabbi Yeruchim Levovitz used to give a Chumash Rashi shir in the Haim. And it was only for the educated Bochrim who came from out of Mir, so to speak, who had been exposed to education and may have had their hashkofas challenged at certain points. Rabbi Yeruchim gave them a special shir. Revolver was part of that shir, and it was to show them the emunah and the clarity of emunah that one can get from Chumash Rashi. In that shir, he once said over, there was a magid shir or a mashkiach or someone from another yeshiva who sent him a telegram or a letter that he needs to come and speak to him about a very important inyan during this month. Rabbi Yeruchim's response to him was, there's a pasuk over here. Yaakov Avinu was employed to look after the sheep. The Rebbeinu Shem has just told him to do something. It's very important. You've got to listen to the Rebbeinu Shem. At the moment, he's employed by Tilly Leaves. He's employed. What does he do? Vayishlach Yaakov, Vayikra Rachel Leah Hasada. Can't neglect my responsibility that I still have. You've got to come and talk to me in the Sada. So you can still maintain. If he sold his Mashiach during his month, you've got a responsibility. You can't come. You've got to stay there. When his month's done, then you can come. So he calls his wives. What does he say to them? You'd assume he'd say to them, listen, I had a nevuah last night. The Rebbeinu Shem said we should go back. What does Yaakov Avinu say? I've noticed your father. And also, It was almost like an afterthought. And the Ebishter was with me. He's cheated me and he's changed my terms of contract over 100 times. And the Ebishter's not letting to get the better of me. If he said this and this, then the Ebishter saved me. And I saw in a dream how the Malachim were bringing over the sheep from one pen to another pen. Look at the Nisan HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for you. And you know what? Listen, there's no point staying here anymore. Things have gotten so bad. There's no point staying here. Also, the Rebbeinu Shem said we should go. What do they respond? Do we really have anything to stay here for? Hello, Nachrias, Nechshavnu Leki Macharonu. He's treated us like strangers. He's almost like soldiers. Vayochel Gavachal Es Kaspenu. Ki Kol Aisha Ashehitzel Lekim Avinu Lonu Levaninu. Vato, you know what? Kol Hashem Lekim Elecha Asay. Taka, if the Rebbeinu Shlom said we should go. What is going on over here? The Rebbeinu Shlom said go. What's the thought? What's going on? It's an amazing Shlach Hakadosh. In this week's parashah, in the Shlach Hakadosh at the end of every shtickle, has something called Derech Chaim Techachas Musa, where he brings in either Divrei Musa or Divrei Hashkofa. I want to share the words, a little shtickle. He says like this: Vayishlach Yaakov Vayikra L'Rochel L'Leah. Ein Ro'oi La'Odom Kishiyutze Dovo Ma Me'Anshe Beisoi Sheyachrichem Al Zeh Al Tzad Ho'Enes V'Hanitzuach Af Kihu Meishol Bohem. Even if a person has a situation in his home where he's in charge, but if he wants to get a message over to his family, it doesn't work doing it by forcing them. It ain't gonna work. One should encourage them in a way that they'll want to do it of their own accord. Because it's much better. In fact, it's gonna work much better than if they're forced to do it. Ray? So this is the Hashkofa of the Torah, where the Torah is telling us we've got a whole lot of mitzvahs that the Rebbeinu Shem told us we've got to do. So what's the way to do it? Right, we've got to get the kids, we've got to tell them, right, or even perhaps even to ourselves, we've got to force ourselves to do it. That's the way we're going to really do the mitzvah. No. So the Shlach Hakadosh, it's not Yaakov, we're talking about Yaakov Avinu. We're talking about Rochel and Leo, the Imayis HaKadoshes. What does he say to them? You know, they've been in Choron, they've been in Paddan Aram since the day they were born. They were born and bred here. They've reared their children here. And suddenly you want them to relocate? You want them to go out of their comfort zone and go somewhere else? It's going to be hard. You're going to force them. They'll do it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said do it. But are they going to really enjoy doing that mitzvah? Or is it going to be begrudgingly, you know, we've got to go. Or we've got to go because it's a Nisayim, but we're going to be miskaber on the Nisayim. That doesn't last. It certainly doesn't last to the next generation. It won't work. He says, the Shlach Hakadosh, what do? You go and you say to them, look, you know, I know you've been here your whole life, and I know, but it's really become a bit of a battleground for us. Your father doesn't like us anymore. He's been cheating us. He's been treating us in a way where we're like strangers. It's almost like we are the ones who are thieving from him when he's the one thieving from us. We could stay here, but it's going to be a life of a battle. Or we could go somewhere else, relocate. It'll take us time to acclimatize to a new place, but at least then we're not fighting an ongoing battle. And you know what they say to him? You're right. To stay here, it's going to be a life of hell. It's going to be difficult. It's really nothing for us to stay here for. And now it's easy to do the Ratzon Hashem. Says the Shlach Hakadosh, that is the way to do mitzvahs. If we force ourselves, and we'll do it, but we'll do it with a little bit of a grudge in our hearts. But if we appreciate it, and if we understand it, and that's why it's so important to understand Tameh HaMitzvah. Find another, we don't do it because, now I understand, if I don't understand, I'm doing it because the Ebishter wants me to do it. Oh, but do it with Rotzen. Do it with Geschmack. Enjoy doing the Mitzvah. In the end of the day, I'm gonna do it anyway. So, and if I want to do it, Basimcha, the only way to do it, Basimcha, is if I understand it, if I appreciate it, if I see the benefits of it. You would think, okay, so this is by Asay Tov. By Asay Tov, it's important, you know, but what about when I come with a Nisoyan, when I have a Sur Meira, then I would say, we would think, the Svara then is, Sur Meira, nah. Now you just, the Ebesh just said no, so you don't do it. Forget Cheshbonus, you're no Cheshbonus. So the Shlach Hakadosh, no. You know, later on in Parashat Yishev, Yosef HaTzadik is challenged by Isha's Potiphar. Right, here I am, and she says to him, right, Shichwayimi, it's come to the child. What does he say to her? Listen, in any God of Abai, your husband has left no one in charge here more than me. Everything in the house, he's given to me. And he's entrusted me. He trusts me with everything. The only thing he didn't give me is you. How can I do that? The Chotosi, that I came, and you know what? It would also be an Avera. Well, you got a child, you got a Cheshbonus here. It's an Avera, you don't do it. Says the Shlach HaKadosh, no. You want to be able to abstain from an Avera? The way to do it is rationalize why it's not worthwhile. Rationalize why it doesn't make sense. Why the losses from it potentially for the fleeting moment of pleasure, the losses from it could potentially be far more reaching. Ah. And then you're able to be to abstain because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'd rather. But it's now easy to do it. In fact, it's geschmack to do it. I look at it as an opportunity, the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave to get me closer to him. But I appreciate now why. So whether in Aseh Tov or whether in Sur Meirah, the rationale behind it, understanding and appreciating it, giving it flavor, and making it palatable, and making it something that we want to do, certainly for us, and certainly for the way the Shlach HaKadosh says over here, Roilam Kishiyutzimah Me'anshe Beisan. How do you do it? There's two ways. I could force them. That ain't going to work. It's not going to last. They're not going to love it. They're not going to enjoy it. They're not going to continue doing it. And the only way to do it is by make it geshmak. Make it enjoyable. Make it understood. Make it make sense. And then it's appreciated.
Isn't there a risk, though, if you rationalize something, you won't do it, or if it's never, you will do it?
Right, so it's got to... Yeah, it's got to be with the... It's. I know that I'm going to do it, and I know that I'm not going to do it. But make it in a way that... It's because I want it. I want that. There's reasons why. It makes sense for me. It's enjoyable. There's something in it. I can get something out of it. And then that builds on it. That's why it's so important to let Tami HaMitzvah for us, that Siva Chinuch, it brings in the Sharoshe HaMitzvah. Now, other Sfarim, which brings up Tami in the Mitzvah, it gives a whole geschmack in the Mitzvah. Instead of that, you know, I'm just shaking Lulav. Yeah, I'm shaking Lulav because I have to shake Lulav. Why? What are these Dalit meaning? What do they represent? I'm going to eat matzah. I'm not going to eat matzah because it reminds me of when we were in Mitzrayim, and it's also about when we were slaves, when we went free. What else is there? What else is the Sipur Yitzchak? Why am I doing it? Why am I putting on tefillin every day? What's in it for me? And sometimes you get a bit, find a little bit of the secrets of Torah. So it makes it geschmack. It makes it enjoyable. And that type of, that when the Anshe Beisoy, as the Shlach HaKadosh calls it, appreciate that and understand that and feel that, It makes the whole experience for them in the long term. They'll build and build and build on it, so that they'll want to do mitzvahs and they'll want to abstain from avodas because it becomes geshmak.
This is the opposite of what they say, that Moshe Feinstein said that in America they went off because it's a shaitz design yid.
Yeah, he said even more. He said, you know, people used to come home on Shabbos. Moshe is basically miyusel on this Shlach HaKadosh. So he used to come and he used to say, yeah, well, no. So it was shver, but we kept Shabbos. It was swear, but I gave my job up for Shabbos. He said, and those people often, the kids didn't carry on, it was taka swear. But if you say, you know, I was miskaber, who says the child's going to be able to be miskaber? Forget to come home and say, you know what, do you know what Shabbos is? Do you know how geschmack it is, the way home together? Even if it was difficult, but to give it over to them in the way that it's geschmack. Because if it comes over to them, you know what, it's a swear in Nisayim, but I was miskaber, who says they can be miskaber on that Nisayim? Whereas if you make a geschmack, everyone wants to enjoy things, everyone wants to have a geschmack, so they'll find a way to make that geschmack. Yeah. The inyan of being mevata is one of the most fascinating parts of this week's parasha. Rochel Imenu, who's desperate to have children, comes to Leah, and she sees that Reuven has gone, we make tzirchitim, and he's found dudoim. He's found this jasmine plant, and it's msugal to have it, to msugal for Leda, for heroin. And she comes over to Leah, and she says to her, Tanali mi dudoi b'neich. Please give me dudoim of your son. Yeah, Leah's there, and we're trying to sort of almost picture it. Leah's there with her abundant, with her many children that she had, and Rochel Nevech is waiting to have this child. The Shvachas have already had children. And she comes and asks her, give me the dudoim. And what does Leah say to her? Hamat kachteiches ishi. V'lo kacht gamas dudoi b'ni. Is it not enough that you took away my husband? You also want the dudoim of my son. One of the most hurtful things that someone can say to you, took away my husband, Rachel was my thing. I took away your husband. Let's just go back and remember. Rashi says later on, he's got a kimas Rachel. What did you remember? That Rachel had given away those simonim. It's a peredikazach or Leo Imenu. We're talking about one of the emotes as well. She could say that to Rachel. She could tell Rachel, you took away my husband. When she knew full well she was given the simonim.
Yeah, but she didn't know maybe that Rachel was going to be meant to be married to her first.
Everyone knew that Rachel was getting married to Yaakov. Yaakov had chosen her as a wife. He told Lavan. And Lavan did this whole shtickle to cheat him. Rachel, she was given the simonim by Leah, by Rachel. She doesn't. It must be that the simonim, the way that Rachel gave away those simonim, was in such an unbelievable hatsnei aleches that Leah didn't even realize she was being given the simonim by Rachel. Because if she would have realized, she would never have said to her these words, "I'm out kachvei hazish." We know the simonim were that there's three mitzvahs of every bas Yisrael. Yeah, there's Hadlak Saner, Chala, and Nida. So those were the mitzvahs that she was being told, that Yaakovina told Rachel. It must have been that Rachel went over and sort of discussed them with Leah by the side, as if Agav, Misiach Refituma, and Rachel didn't let on at all that these were even the simonim. We made it. Yaakov asked, "What are the three simonim?" So she told him because she'd learned with Rachel what the three simonim were, but never assumed that these were the simonim. Otherwise, she would never have said it. And Rachel was Mevata. It's phenomenal because the Emois already knew, it was known beforehand that Yaakov Avinu was going to be the Bechira of us, and from him were going to come back the 12 Shvatim. And Rachel knew she was slated to become that wife of Yaakov Avinu. Assuming there would be one wife, she would be the mother of the Shivtei Kop. Zchus Niflo. And what happened? She gives that away. She gives it away. Well, why did she give it away? Because when it came to the crunch point, it was my sister's about to be taken to Chuppah, and it could be she's going to be embarrassed. And if she's going to be shamed, embarrassed, or pained, then all the Olam Haba and all the Zchus and everything that comes with it is not worth it. It's not worth it. Every Zchus in the world, on the cheshbon of someone else's pain, it's not worth it. We famously once heard that Rav Shneur Kotler was told by a Chassidish Yid that one of the Chassidish Rebbes had said that it was a moment when he could have caused Mashiach to come. And we thought at the time that they'd be sitting by the Sudas Levyosin, and about the next to Mashiach would be the God La'atoyer of the time, the Apterov, who was already a Zokin, and he would say, Ve'atayach Kebreng, and he'll say, Dayon Gamanchik Dotin, and Apterov Esher will have Chalisha Sadas. And really, that's why I decided not to bring Mashiach there. So Shneur Kotler went to his father and said, "Come on, Chassidish Meisa, could have saved. You know what he could have saved? Pogroms, the wars. You know he could have saved. He would have brought Mashiach." So Rabban said to him, "It's Nishkan Chiddush. Moshe Rabbeinu was on the outskirts of Mitzrayim. The Rebbe Lishon was telling him, go to Mitzrayim, buy the snake, go to Mitzrayim." Moshe Rabbeinu tries every excuse. The Rebbe Lishon doesn't like his excuses. There's one excuse. The Rebbe Lishon doesn't respond to him and tell him you're wrong. He says to the Rebbe Lishon, "Shlach no biyad tishlach. Till now, every shlichus you've done has been with my older brother, Aaron HaKohen. If you send me, he's going to have Chalish Sadas. Why are you not taking him like you always have? B'yad Tishlach, the one you always send. Send him." The Rebbeinu doesn't say Nishkan Taina. He said, "No, he'll get over it. So what? So he'll get over it. There's a Holocaust going on. It's your brother, no, Chalish Sadas. I don't care about that. Go and save Klal Yisrael." The Rebbeinu said, no, you're right. If he would be upset, you're right. I'm a grad of Arach of a Samach Beliba. You should just know that he's going to see you and he's actually going to be really happy. That's the case. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I can go." Reb Chatzkel Levenstein said, "There's a Kabbalah that we have, that even if it would mean not building the Beis Hamikdash, but if it would come at the expense of the pain of another Yid in any sort of way, then we wouldn't do it." Someone told me today,
"Wouldn't do what?
We wouldn't build the Beis Hamikdash because it's not worth it everything in the world, not worth it on the pain of another Yid." Someone told me today they saw in one of the Sfarim that one of the Sfarim stories of the Brisker dynasty. How accurate this is, I don't know. You know, probably Brisker would get very upset with me for saying this, that it's not exactly accurate, but the theme of the story is definitely true. Reb Chaim Brisker's father, I think this is who it's said by, Reb Chaim Brisker's father was very makpid on getting his matzahs made. By, he used to go with a special chabura to Varsha to make the matzahs in a certain way, and it's had the oven burning for 3 days beforehand, with every single chumrah that you could have to have his matzahs. One year, for whatever reason, he was unwell, he couldn't go, so he sent his son, he sent Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim went, and Betachli Sahidu looked after him, brought him back. And every day after he came back, multiple times a day, his father would ask him, "Will you show me the matzahs?" "Yeah, yeah, I'll show you the matzahs." "Were you sure you were showing the matzahs?" "Yeah, yeah." "Were you showing them, like, when you were in the station, you were watching the whole time, when you were on the train, you didn't fall asleep for a second, you were the whole time, when you came back, you were showing the matzahs the whole time?" Again, the question, day in, day out, or the whole, worrying about the matzahs, they should have been mishumah 100%. Came Seder night, they ate the matzahs, "You sure they mishumah?" "Yeah, they ate the matzahs." Chol HaMoed, his father asked him again, "Suddenly, the matzahs, you're sure there's matzahs on mishumah?" He says, "I want to tell you." He says, "When we got on the train, I was afraid, you know, it's traveling on a train and it's warm and I'll fall asleep. So I took some string and I tied it really tight around my hands. It's really tight. It was actually made a cut in my hand. And I took some salt and I put it on the cut. And that pain would keep me awake the whole way through. From that day on, his father never asked him again. So why didn't he tell his father this? He said afterwards, "I could have told this to my father right when I came back. Don't worry, I was awake the whole time. This is what happened." He said, "But had I told that to my father, he wouldn't have eaten the matzahs. Matzahs that were at the expense of the pain of another Yid, he would never have eaten them. So if I didn't tell him till afterwards." It doesn't matter any mitzvah in the world if it's at the expense of someone. That's one part. But then Rachel is mevata on absolutely everything for her, but it doesn't stop there. Because of what she was mevata, Rachel Imenu is the one who's able to go and taina by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael should get a gula. She's the one. Rachel mevaka al-banel, the obvious way we went, the Medrash says, and where Shabbina went, no one got answered. The Rachel Imenu went and said, "I was a boss of a dog. And I was mevata." "You're not going to be mevata for Klal Yisrael. The pain that they're causing you, come Rabbeinu Shalom. You're not going to be mevata." Rachel Imenu is answered. Leah has a very similar experience. She's about to give birth to another son. And she chesbos to herself, "If I give birth to another son, my sister Rachel is worse off than the Shvachos. Can't do that." And she davens. First of all, the tefillah that she must have davened to have changed the teva, to have changed her uber from being a zohar to an akeva. Those tefillahs must have been unbelievable tefillahs to have affected that. Just a davar that was already in the world to have changed it. She did that. What did she do it for? I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're not, you know, Leah wasn't this. That's why it must be that the way she got the simanim was in a way where she didn't even chav. But she davens to have it changed. This could have been another one of the shittikot. Another one of the shittikot. She's giving up a ruchnius of nitzrius. Another one of the shittikot. At the expense of my sister, it's not worthwhile. Oh, Lamaisa Chazal says.
Sensitive. How can she come out with a tiny like this?
What about Ma'at? The shayla is what she meant when she said that. She definitely didn't mean you've taken my husband in a way that was. Look how she looked after her sister. But she didn't lose out, because one never loses out from being mevatel. Rav Shach wrote in a letter, I think he said, "Nara isi v'gamza kanti," and I've never seen anyone lose out from being mevatel. In fact, I've only seen them gain. His wife, they say, said about him, when we got married, we made a deal. One time I'll be mevatel, the next time he's going to be mevatel. The next day she says, "The only problem is that he's never given me a chance. It's always him." Where was Leah Zeicha? Leah was Zeicha, you know what? That daughter ended up being Dina. Dina has a daughter called Osnas. Osnas has two sons, Ephraim and Menashe, and they both come Shvatim. So Leah maybe gave up one, but she got two in return. Because when being Mevatah, no one ever loses out. No one has ever lost out from being Mevatah. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lose out. Rachel Imenu never lost out. No one loses out. It's very interesting. I was once in Kibbutz Rachel, probably about close to, I think maybe 19 or 20 years ago. And at the time, it was still before they had all the barriers, you know, you used to drive all the way into Beis Lechem and park up and then walk back up to the Kibbutz Rachel. And on the wall, they had a tefillah up. And next to it, a write-up from one of the Sfarim of the Chidah. And the Chidah writes there that Rachel Imenu composed the tefillah of Rosh Chodesh Musaf. Musaf and Rosh Chodesh is Rachel Imenu was mesaken that tefillah. And Chazal hinted it in the Rosh HaTevis of Roshei Chadoshim La'amcha. Roshei Chadoshim La'amcha Yisrael is written Rachel. She composed that tefillah. I've always wondered, what? Nice, okay. So she composed that tefillah, so you go there and you say Roshei Chadoshim La'amcha. I think it was Yudah Aleph Cheshvan, but what was the... Rachel Imenu was composed... I don't know Pshat. But I wonder, when we say there, we say Roshei Chadoshim La'amcha Nosotah Zman Kapali L'chol Tadosim B'yoysom. What do we do on Rosh Hashanah? We're makrivim karbanos of rotzim. There's a lot of things that we want. A lot of things that we want. Sometimes we're makriv what we want for other people. That's what Rachel Imenu did. Rachel Imenu wanted to be the wife of Yaakov. She wanted to have all 12 shvatim. She wanted to have the nitzchus or everything. What did she do? She was makriv zivchei ratzon. For who? For other people. Gave it away. The opposite of the Levana. The Levana came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Tainan, Ein Shnei Melochim, Mishtamashim Bekesechad. You can't have two of us. The rest is, you go smaller. Try to put away someone else, one never gains. But be mevata to another person, one always gains. One always gains. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is arranging that always happens. That's why Rachel Imenu is the one who be'ez Hashem, that tefillah of Rachel Mevaka Abonel should be answered, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take and send us back. We should be zeichet to the good Hashem of Mehrav Yomino.